amen. I like that song. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to praise and worship the Lord. And, you know, I know that those times when you don't feel like it and you offer the sacrifice of praise, it's amazing how things change and your spirits are lifted and that which it was upon you flees. So I was praying, you know, I'm sitting here going, oh, Lord, what do I say? Or, you know, it's not what I want to say, actually. It's what the Lord wants me to say. And he said, go to Mark 6. Now, I'm thinking, Mark 6. Man, didn't I just read that? And sure enough, that's what it was. And there's a couple things I wanted to bring out from last week or whenever it was the other day. And then there's also, I want to keep on continuing. I'm going to start at 1 again, Mark 6, chapter 1. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. Now this is Jesus going back to Nazareth, where he was raised and where people knew him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is that this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joses, and of Judah, and of Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around about the villages teaching. Now, one thing that the Lord showed me afterwards about this thing, you know, one thing that happens is that, I don't know about you, I know when I received the Lord, it was a transformation. It was a radical transformation. And the Lord showed me something about that. He showed me that, you know, here are these people who knew me, okay? I think I used to be pretty friendly, I guess. I don't know, contrary to popular belief. But what happened is they knew me. And they knew my faults, and they knew my shortcomings, and they knew the way I was. And I think you also, I know Steve kind of has this testimony too, and I'm sure we all do. You know, here we are, we go about our life, we accept the Lord, and then we want to share with everybody what the Lord has done for us, right? What the gospel of the Lord is, you know, how it sets us free. And the thing that I found and I see now is that that scares people, because they knew me before and then they know me now. When they see that, and they see that transformation, all of a sudden they realize that, oh my God, if I receive the Lord, if I receive what you say, I'm that transformation may help take hold in me, and it scares them. It scares them. You know, oh no, that means I'm not fine. Oh no, that means I'm not okay. But our trust is in the Lord. Our trust is in the Lord, that we pray for those around us. We pray for those we were raised with. We pray for them, that the Lord sends someone who can deliver the gospel unto them, and then that they might hear. But a lot of times it's that fear of the unknown, that fear of change that causes people to shut down and not hear what is being spoken. So anyway, where I wanted to go, I just wanted to touch on that. Chapter 6, verse 7, and he called unto the 12 and began to send them forth by twos and two and gave them power over unclean spirits. Now, this is different and this is interesting, okay? If you want to look at this with Mark 16, okay, you see the great commandment. Okay, this is before the Holy Ghost came down in the day of Pentecost. Okay, this is a time where the Lord took of his anointing and gave it to the 12 and he sent them forth. Now, one thing that you see here, okay, we know that the Lord is not a respecter of persons. It wasn't about these people, these 12, being perfect, because we know that Judas was among that 12. It was about accomplishing the Lord's will and demonstrating a purpose to the 12 and demonstrating a purpose on how they will be later. Now, we know one fell away. Praise God, he knew who it was. But that didn't stop him from using him to do his work at this time. And commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. Now, I know that one of the things where we run into is trusting the Lord. We're trusting the Lord. I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. Well, this is trusting the Lord. You know, it talks about, or where it said, it says, you know, when, how do you want to, or, you know, you see God move in miraculous ways when you really have no other choice. The Lord was sending them out into the world to, not to preach the gospel, and I'll get to that here in a minute here, not to preach the gospel, but to teach them a lesson, to teach them that God can use them if they but believe, if they just step out in faith. But it be and he said unto them, in whatsoever place you enter unto an house, there abide till ye depart from thence. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. Now, this is the thing that really stuck out to me. That they went out and preached that man should repent. How is that different from chapter 16? Anybody know? Yes? Okay. Chapter 16, he says, go out and preach the gospel. This was telling them to go out and preach that men should repent. It's different. Okay, they couldn't preach the gospel because the gospel hadn't been fulfilled yet. This was almost the same commandment that John had when he went out into the wilderness. He preached that men should repent. Now, we know in the end, it's the Great Commission is Mark 16. But it's interesting to see how we see a difference and kind of a parallel between these things. You know, in the end, in Mark 16, well, they had already done this. They had already fulfilled part of what the Lord had told them to do, part in the sense that they went out and they preached, trusting the Lord to take care of their needs. Now, I know here we have a lot of people, and we have to trust the Lord. Everyone, we have to trust the Lord for our needs. And I'll tell you frankly, sometimes it's not easy to do that. It's not easy. But if we're serving the Lord, I know that He is faithful to provide, and He is faithful to take care of those who do His work. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. You know, I look at this and I look at the Great Commission, and I know that what's happening, and I know it's something that's really, Steve's been preaching and it's been quickening really since the beginning of the year. The Lord is pulling together His body. The Lord is pulling together His body that is knit in love and found in Him. The Lord is pulling together that body that walks in His faith in what He has done. Our purpose or our hope or our desire needs to be that. I mean, how many times when I was, you know, when talking about the previous chapters, did I preach the wrong thing? People weren't wrong to reject what I spoke because it was an error. It was safe for them to reject it. But I know that the Lord is bringing together His body to preach the true gospel, to preach as He would have us minister. And I know to do that, our faith has to be 100% in what He did and what He's able to accomplish in spite of the people, in spite of myself or ourselves. You look at what He did here, is that He used Judas in spite of who Judas was. It doesn't have a little asterisk in this whole thing that says, well, except for Judas. No. It's what the Lord does. It is what the Lord does. It is what He accomplishes because it's about Him. You know, you look at what happened with, Balaam. The Lord used an ass to accomplish a mission. You know, now I sometimes feel like one. But the point is it's not about the vessel. It's about the person who's sending that vessel or sending that person. And I know that we're in a position, you know, I know the Lord's going to bring out together His people. He's going to bring together that body. We by faith have to dwell in that body. We by faith have to know that in spite of everything you see in yourself, in spite of everything and all the unbelief, all the doubts and everything that you have, if you but trust Jesus, He can use you. He can use you. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the fact that in spite of the years I was bitter and angry and all these other things, that I see that deliverance that He's giving. And, you know, my hope is to see that deliverance in everybody, because it says that His body, the church of Philadelphia, or He says to His disciples, they'll know you're my disciples, your love one for another. It all works through love. It all works through love. The ministering of the gospel or ministering what Jesus did, or it all works through love. And it's love of the other person, not love of self. And so let us be hopeful. Let us be hopeful. Let us know that the Lord is going to move, and let's be a part of that movement. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you for your grace. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. And may we, Lord, may your word and may your spirit work in us that we may become that one, become that body that walks in the fullness of you. And Father, we thank you for this. And Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done. And Lord, for what you're doing. And Lord, I ask that you prepare our hearts so that we may be part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. And I guess we will see you on Sunday morning. God bless and good night.